Praise the Lord. Oh, let's just open with prayer. I need prayer. I need to pray. Precious Heavenly Lord. Lord, we're just so grateful to get to be here in your presence, to worship you together as one, Father, in unity in your spirit. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I can feel your presence. We know you're here because your word says that wherever two or three are gathered, that you're in the midst. And above that, Lord, we know that you live in us. So wherever we go, Holy Spirit is present, Father. And Lord, we thank you for that presence. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We are so grateful, Holy Spirit, for the things you do and for the way you move and for the way you speak. And we just ask you to come and speak to us tonight. Move in our hearts tonight. Stir the deep places. Your word says that the deep calls out to the deep. Lord, the deep places in me is calling out to the deep places in you, Father. Come and stir the deep places in us tonight, oh God. And have your way, precious Father. We're so grateful to be in your presence, oh God. We're so grateful, Father. Oh, you are such a good, good God. And we just glorify your name tonight, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. Hallelujah. I have a habit, you know, a method. You know, I start when the Lord shows me something, whatever it is, you know, I start chewing on it. You know, I start thinking about it and I think going over it. I'm like, okay, what are we going to do with this, Lord? What are we going to do with this? And sometimes he turns it into a message to share. And sometimes it's just a message for me. But praise the Lord, when I started praying about this, about tonight, because it's every third Wednesday. So I know it's every third Wednesday. So from tonight, I'll have three more weeks to get ready for that fourth week. And so I start praying. I start praying after tonight. Okay, Lord, what are we going to do next? Where are you going? What are you going to say? And as the Lord begins to give it to me, I just begin to write down little snippets in a little diary-like thing, you know, a little note thing on my phone, so that eventually it comes all together. And today, as I was putting it all together, the Lord gave me a title. I had a different title. I sent a different title. But the Lord changed the title, and I got to share the title because it's really good. And it says, Provision times usage equals abundance. I'm going to say that one more time. Provision multiplied by usage equals abundance. So we're going to go through the word, and I'm going to prove this out to you because the Lord is true, right? The Lord doesn't lie. And there is a law in effect, right? A spiritual law that governs in this earth. And the Lord never goes against that spiritual law. That spiritual law happens. I was going to do this later, but God says we're doing this now. Okay, so, like spiritual laws, there are scientific laws of the universe, right? And what is this one?
Gravity.
What goes up must come down, right? There's another physical law, and it's called the law of motion. What is set in motion stays in motion until something stops the motion, right? Those are scientific laws. Do we question those laws? Well, my son did. He questioned gravity. He was about 3 and a half, and he's out playing with my daughter out in front, and I can stand out my kitchen and do my dishes and look out the window and see him playing, right? And I see them. I see him. And I put a couple of dishes in the dish rack, and I wring out the cloth and set it on the back of the sink, and I can't see him. It's been 2 minutes, and I can't see him. So I go running out the front door, and I'm calling, Kenneth, where are you? And I hear this little tiny voice from far away. Mama, watch me. I can fly. Right? Right? My mother's heart just landed right in a puddle at my feet. And I'm like, where are you? Where are you? Don't move. Don't move. Where are you? And I look up, and there's this like 50-foot fir tree out in the front of our driveway. And he's up, at, you know, really close to the top. Too far for me to get him. And he's got his legs wrapped around the tree, and his little arms are just in front of him, his legs across, and his arms are flapping. And I'm scared. like, okay, don't scream. Don't scare him. He's like, watch me, Mom. I'm going to fly. And I'm thinking, okay, God, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? Gravity, 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 gravity. How do I do this, Lord? And I saw a big rock, and I ran to the rock, and I said, watch, son, look. Don't move. Look at this. Are you bigger than this rock? And he said, yes. I said, right. Watch what happens when the rock tries to fly. And I toss it up, and it comes back down. He goes, well, duh, Mom. It doesn't have arms. As he's continuing to flap. And I said, son, do you have feathers on those arms? He's like, no, Mom, I don't. I said, that's the key to flight. You don't have feathers. Birds have feathers. If you jump out of that tree, flapping your arms, you will land on the ground in a heap with those arms still flapping. And he looks at me like, are you sure you know what you're talking about? Because that's my son exactly. Are you sure you know what you're talking about? So I convinced him to come down. Now, you and I, do we question the laws of gravity? Not since 3, at least, probably, right? No, we know that what's in motion stays in motion until it stopped. We understand that if we fall from a great height, something's going to break because gravity controls the earth, right? Nobody can fight gravity. It's there. You feel its effect in everyday life. You feel its effect. And so you don't question it. It's just there, right? Well, there is a spiritual law that we question all the time. Now, why would we not question a scientific law, but we would question God's spiritual law when God is who created the scientific law? So the God who created the scientific law, don't you think the spiritual law would be over that? You would think that we would always think so, and yet we question that. Provision times usage equals abundance. Go with me to Mark chapter 4, verse 24, please. Listen to this. It says, then he said to them, take heed. That means like, listen up. What you hear. Listen up to what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you. This is not talking about finance. Notice the word, take heed what you hear. This is talking about what we hear. Right? It will be measured to you. And to you who hear more, will be given. And to you who hear, more will be given. That's telling us that there are some who don't hear. Right? Multiple times throughout the New Testament, there are verses in the Bible that says, those with ears, or he who has ears, let him hear. Because how often do we hear something, but we don't really pay attention? Right? We hear something, you know, but it's noise. We don't really have a clue what was said. I am not good at multitasking in the same moment. I can have multiple things going on at one time, but I can't do multiple things at one time. Meaning, if I'm sitting and typing out my message or typing out anything, and someone talks to me, I can be like, uh-huh, yeah, yeah, okay, uh-huh, sure, yeah, uh-huh. And I'm not hearing a word they're saying. I'm just making them happy. Because what's in here, I got to get it out. So then at the end of that, I'll say, okay, what did you say? I didn't listen to a word you said. Because I can't do that. But how often are we like that with the Lord? The Lord is speaking and we're hearing it, but we're not really getting it. We don't understand what it means, right? How many times do we read the word? We read the same verse, the same verse, the same verse, and then boom, revelation comes. Like the 100th time or the 5th time, you've heard it, you've read it, but this one time you heard it. You heard it in a way that it was life-changing. You heard it in a way that spoke to you. So this verse is speaking about what you hear and the measure you use of what you heard. Right? The word is our provision. The hearing is our usage. So when we take provision of hearing the word and we put it into practice usage, it is multiplied back to us. Hallelujah. This is talking about the meaning of applying what you hear to our lives. How many of us know? I want to see hands for this. That to be forgiven, we must forgive. Is that a hand from everybody? Okay, there we go. But no hands on this one. But how many of us and how many times have we said, Lord, I love you, but I just can't forgive them. Now, wait a minute. We know there's a spiritual law in effect here. To receive forgiveness, you must forgive. So do you think going back to Papa God and sweet-talking him, Lord, I just love you so much, but I just can't do that. I'm just not ready yet. Do you think that's going to change anything? Do you think that he's going to answer you one day and say, oh, honey, it's okay. You don't have to forgive. No, that ain't going to happen. That isn't going to happen. Okay, so what is the definition of insanity? Thank you, Lord. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting a different result. When we can't hear the word, you must forgive, you must love, and keep going back to God and saying, I just can't love that sister. She thinks she knows it all. She's needy. She's always in your face. She won't leave me alone. I just can't love her, God. And do you think that one day he's going to say, oh, it's okay. You don't have to love her. You know, I love her enough for both of us. It's okay. You can just hate her a little bit. Nah, not going to happen. We have to love. It's a spiritual law. It is a law that God laid down. Hallelujah. But, you know, is it really a law? I mean, you know. You know, can I just take a little time with this? No. No, we don't get time with this. So how many times have we heard the word, you know, and then kind of wiggled our way out of doing what we've heard, right? My favorite one is my dad used to tell the story. And everybody growing up or as you become adult, you know, you don't lend money. I mean, you hear it all the time. People will tell you, no, it's not good. No, not good to lend money. Oh, you don't want to do that. Don't do that. Okay? We've all heard that, right? Especially to family. Well, no faster way to ruin a family than to lend money, right? Well, my dad used to tell this story when I was a kid and he was preaching about how he had a grandma and every Thursday was wash day. And she had these big galvanized wash tubs. And she not just did laundry for herself, but that's how she earned her income, right? So she'd use those wash bins, and she'd wash laundry for other people. So every Thursday, and I don't know what all days, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, wash days, she had to have those bins. Well, if somebody came by on Sunday and said, hey, you know, my wash bin cracked and it doesn't hold water, can I borrow yours until Wednesday? She'd say, oh, of course you can. Here you go. And then come Wednesday, those tubs didn't come back. And Thursday, those tubs didn't come back. And Friday, those tubs didn't come back. Come Saturday, she went and bought new ones. Because the word says lend without expecting in return. Oh, that's controversial. Oh, you can't say that. Well, I'm not saying it, but the word does. It says lend without expecting in return. And she lived by that. Several times a year, she'd have to replace all those wash tubs because somebody would borrow them and never return them. Lend. And you know, the word also says if you see your brother in need and have the ability to fulfill that need,
You are called to fill it. Ooh, sister, you can't preach this stuff. This is controversial. We can't do this. There is laws in the spirit, and we better be aware of them because they govern our lives, whether we believe in them or not, just like gravity. Right? The word says, what you hear and put into practice governs your return, your abundance. Oh, praise the Lord. What you hear, what you are accountable to. How many times do we hear things, but we're not accountable to what we heard or to what we learned? Do you know what the worst thing about sitting under Pastor Bruce is? He's a really great preacher that preaches truth. So you learn way too much to be ignorant. You can't sit in this church and say, oh, I've never heard that preached. Oh, I've never heard that law. Where does it say love my brother? Because pastor preaches it. If the word says it, he preaches it. So if you've heard it, you're now responsible to live what you've heard, or there's no return on what you've heard. So how many of us are living in a deficit when we should be in an abundance because we've not applied the law of the Spirit over what we've heard? Woo! When we don't live what we're called to live, when we are not who God is calling us to be, we're at a negative balance when we should be living in the abundance. Oh, praise the Lord. Okay, to truly understand this verse, let's go back to Mark, chapter 4, verse 21. We're going to look at 21 first. This is just up before this. It says, also he said to them, meaning Jesus said to them, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under the bed? It is not, is it not to be set on a lampstand? So what is he saying? We don't buy lighting devices that illuminate and brighten and make seeing possible in the darkness and then hide it under the bed and never use it. What would be the purpose of that? No illumination. Okay, so what this is talking about, a lamp, is illumination. Illumination. And if you put the illumination underneath something dark, there's no illumination. Christ is speaking in this verse about purpose, about your purpose, about his purpose, about my purpose. Hallelujah. The purpose of light is to bring illumination, to bring clarity of vision, the ability to see something better or clearly. We are a light to the world, and we are to be illuminating Jesus. But are we? Are you? Am I? Am I a light everywhere I go, so bright that it draws the moths to me? Or am I hiding all of what God's done in me and what he is in me and what he is to me underneath a covering? Oh, praise the Lord. So go to Matthew. Ooh, purpose. Matthew 5:13, praise God. Matthew 5:13 says, you are, okay, say that with me, you are. Okay, now say, I am. Because this is what he is saying to you. You are, Glenda, you are, Mike, you are the salt of the earth. I am the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? Is it then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men? Oh my gosh. Hallelujah. You are the light. Hallelujah. If we read on, it says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket on a lampstand, and it gives light to all, but it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify God in heaven. Your good works, purpose. You were created for good works. That's your purpose. When you take that purpose and you multiply that purpose by usage, how are you using your purpose? How much are you using your purpose? Is your purpose times one? Is your purpose times two? Is your purpose times four? Is your purpose times a million? Because purpose times usage, what is your usage? What is your usage? Ah, that purpose is times a gazillion because it's God's purpose. Right? It's God, His power, His calling, His anointing, His purpose over you, His creation. And when you multiply that by your usage of what He's given you, you get abundance. You get more than you started with. It multiplies back to you. Oh, praise the Lord. Go with me to Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verse 10 through 13. It says, He who descended is also the one who ascended. Again, this is speaking of Jesus. Above all the heavens, that He might fill all things. Didn't Pastor just say we were all things? Didn't you just say that? What did you say Sunday? All things, or what was the other word you might have used? I can't remember it. Yes, I did. But apparently I'm not getting a good return on that one. Okay, so this is Jesus. Jesus fills all things. And Jesus himself gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors, and some to be teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry and the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of faith and into the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Okay, look at this. Why do we need equipping? Why did God give us people in our body that could equip us? Or people in the world, if it's not in the body, it's outside the body, but still in the body of Christ. Maybe not in our own church. But why did He give us these things? Why do we need equipping? To do the work of Christ. We need to be prepared. So how are we being prepared? We're being taught the Word of God. We're being shown the Word of God. Are we listening? Are we hearing? I mean, hearing what the Word of God is saying. Are we hearing what we're being taught? Or is it just kind of, you know, in one ear and out the other ear and, you know. And what's the purpose? So that we can reach the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What that means is to do better. To be better, to do the work that called us, that God has called us to do. He is equipping us and constantly more equipping and equipping more and giving more and pouring in more so that we can do the work that He has called us to do, so that we're not lacking in ability. We're not lacking in what we need to do what He's called us to do, because Holy Spirit lives in us and we apply the purpose and then we times it by the usage. Woohoo! Praise the Lord. We end up with abundance of whatever it is we need to do what He's called us to do. Why is this the goal? To reach others for the kingdom of heaven, so they can see Jesus in you and I, so they can see and hunger for salvation. We have provision through the Holy Spirit and learning from the wonderful teachers and pastors and prophets and evangelists and apostles that God has put into our lives, so we can be that light in the darkness, just like Jesus was that light. Woo, hallelujah. In Psalms 119, verse 105, the word says, Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. In John 8:12, Jesus speaks saying, I am the light of the world. Hallelujah. So Psalms tells us that God's word is a lamp to our feet. Then John tells us, hallelujah, that Christ is the light of the world. And in John 1 through 14, the world tells us that Jesus is the word made life. So the word is a light to our feet. The word of God, correct? Then Jesus is born, the word of God, in the flesh, living to be that same light. Right? Okay. Then, in Matthew 5, it tells us that we are the light. So God took the light, hallelujah, that was the word, and then he filled it in Jesus. And he sent Jesus, and Jesus became the light made flesh. And then he has that light, and he passes that light to you and I. So Jesus was the light of the world, and now we are the light of the world now. Whew, to bring illumination to the world, to those living in the dark. Hallelujah. Whew, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And why? What is the purpose of this? What is it all for? To bring salvation to the world, right? For John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, that's who you said, I'm a whosoever or a whatsoever. That's what you said. Thank you, Lord. I'm a whosoever should believe on him shall have everlasting life. You and I are key in the world having everlasting life because we're the light in the dark place. And if we're not fulfilling the purpose of the light, we're not living in the abundance that he has for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The purpose, so not one should perish, but have everlasting life. Christ was teaching them the word. He was living the word right in front of them, lighting the way, bringing clarity of the word, bringing vision of the word, bringing insight to the word, showing the purpose and the blessing that comes from not just hearing the word, but from living the word, from obeying the word. We're not meant to just hear the words of Christ. Woo! We are meant to live the words of Christ. We are meant to live in his words, in how he lived and what he lived. Hallelujah. So that his truth, his love, his light shines out of our lives just like it shined out of Christ. Oh, hallelujah. In Mark 4, verse 22, it says, for there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret that it will not come to light. I've heard so many people preach on this that, you know, all the secret little things you do in the dark, they're going to come to the light. And that may be a correct interpretation, but I think a better interpretation, or at least for me, is this. Nothing in the Word of God that's been hidden will be hidden from you, from those who seek to know the Word, from those who use the Word accordingly for the purposes of God, from those who hear, right? Who hear and take hold of that purpose and put with that purpose usage, and it will be multiplied back to them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Mark verse 4:23, it says, if anyone has ears, let him hear. This is saying again, pay attention, get understanding, get knowledge. And the next verse tells us why. Verse 24 said, he then said to them, take heed of what you hear. With the same measure you use, remember this is what we started with the same measure you use, referring to hearing and using what you heard, the same measure you use will be measured back to you. And then here's where it multiplies. Listen, and to you who hear, more will be given. What? More revelation. More understanding, more knowledge of the Word of God, more of His presence, more of His power, woo, moving and working in your life. Hallelujah. How we use what God gives us, hallelujah, and speaks to us matters. It matters to him, and it should matter to you, because the same measure you use, what you learned, what you heard, and what you put into practice will be given back to you and more. That is a law of the Spirit. This verse is a law. It is a law of the Spirit, and it functions and it operates whether you believe in it or not. It doesn't matter if you believe in gravity or not. It doesn't matter, because it exists. It says, give God more. If you want more, give God more. Hear him and what he is saying to you. Give him more time. Give him more thought. Give him more of who you are. Let him in more. Live his word more, and it will be multiplied back to you. But if we just stay in that broken place where he found us, or maybe where we find ourselves, if we just stay in that broken place, if we don't use the talents he's given us, if we don't use the word he has given us, if we don't apply that word to our life and begin to live it, no matter what we feel, no matter what we see, no matter what controversy of the enemy or lie of the enemy we may hear, if we don't begin to use it, we get nothing. We gain nothing. Hallelujah. We just stay miserable, and maybe more miserable. When we use our God-given knowledge and wisdom and talents for his purposes, the more you give to him, the more he will keep pouring in, because this is his promise to us. Provision plus usage equals abundance. And here's the kicker, guys. Provision comes through God's faithfulness. His faithfulness. He is faithful to his children. He is always faithful. Hallelujah. You know, for a couple of weeks, I've been waking up in the morning singing. I am singing myself awake in somewhere, right? And I just knew this one part of this song. And this is all I just kept singing. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust him. And then I added, that's why I love him. That's why I love him. Because when I seek him, he hears, and he answers. And when I apply the answer to my life, it equals abundance in my life. And I can't get that song out of my head. And then this Sunday passed, the worship team did that song. And I heard the whole song. And this afternoon, we're sitting doing school, and we're just pounding out school. We're just working so hard. And Logan is just being a little tiny bit difficult, like only he can be. Right? And I'm just like, Lord, oh, I'm so frustrated. Help me. And all of a sudden, the little guy pops out with, I sought the Lord, and he heard me. I sought the Lord, and he answered, and he looks at me. I sought the Lord. And I just look at him and go, and he heard me. I sought the Lord, and he heard me. And we begin singing it, all three of us, around the school table. School comes to a screeching halt, and we just have a little tiny minute. I don't know how he heard that song, although he was in church Sunday. So maybe that's where he heard it. I'm like, thank you, Lord. Thank you. That's the answer right there. That's the answer. That's the answer. Hallelujah. We just had a little impromptu worship time. And then the rest of the day, spontaneously, one of the boys would just pop out with, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he answered, I sought the Lord. And then I'd sing it back to him. And the whole atmosphere changed. I was still stressed out at the end of the day, praise the Lord. But I was doing it, singing and worshiping. I don't care. I don't care. I'm going to do it singing and worshiping. I don't care if the enemy's attacking. I'm going to do it worshiping. I'm going to face it worshiping. And I'm going to face it praising God. And I'm going to face it singing praises to his name. No matter what I feel, no matter what I see, no matter what I hear, I am going to take that word and I'm going to apply it and use it so that I can live in the abundance of what God has for me and not in the deficit. Hallelujah. Provision comes through God's faithfulness. his faithfulness to his children. And number two, the more provision, and more provision comes when we are faithful to use what God's given us. And that can be applied to what we hear, but it can also be applied to financially. Right? When God blesses us and we reach out and we bless someone else, there's going to be abundance coming. There's going to be abundance coming because it's a spiritual law. Hallelujah. Hear what God has said to you, what God is saying to you. Don't just throw it away. Don't just think, oh, you know, I ate too much spaghetti last night. That can't be God. I don't know what that is. No, hear what God is saying to you. And if you don't know if it's God or the enemy, here's the deal. God speaks life, the enemy speaks death. God lifts up, the enemy tears down. It's that easy. If what you're hearing lifts you up, inspires you to do more for the Lord, that's God. If it tears you down and tells you, I can't, you can't, you're worthless, you're no good, nobody's going to listen, that's the enemy. Because he wants to steal your voice. He wants to steal your blessing. The word says the enemy has come to simply rob, kill, and destroy. That's his whole game plan. It never changes. Hallelujah. And the more you use, the more you apply what you've heard, the more will be added to you. You know, Luke 6:38 says, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing. Right? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And in Mark 4:25, the word says, for whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, if those words of what you're hearing is nothing, if it's fallen to the ground and you're not using it, if you're not applying it, the word says, even what he has will be taken from him. This is talking about provision. Provision for the change that God is calling us all into. The word says, 2 Corinthians 5:17. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old is gone, has passed away, and behold, look, we've all become new. Right? We're new. That means change. You don't get new without being changed, without the process of change, right? Our spirit is made new, brand new, sparkling clean, but our flesh, there's a little bit of work left to do. Right? The thought process, the way we think, how we see people, what we see, that's got to change. But we've been given the provision for any change that needs to come through the person of the Holy Spirit. Oh, God is calling you to change. What he calls you to, he will provide the means for you to do. This is the law of provision and supply. What you need, he supplies. And when you use what he gives you more. What knowledge do we have that we're not using? What do we know we're supposed to do and we're not doing? Or what do we know we're not supposed to do and we're doing? Think about that. Let it become truth, because provision times usage equals abundance. God is the God of multiplication. Everything he does multiplies and becomes greater. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to share one more thing. Okay. Provision times usage equals abundance. Listen to this. When I was 10 years old, I became a Sunday school teacher. By the time when I turned 16, I became a youth leader. Then, in my early 20s, when I came to Pastor Bruce's church, we were there for a little while, and I became the Sunday school director. Then I went from the Sunday school director to becoming a missionary. And then I went from a missionary and actually became an evangelist. And then I added counselor to that list of things. I became a counselor in Mexico. And then I became a pastor to pastors in Mexico. And then God brings me back and I become a women's leader right here at A New Beginning. And then I become the pastor of evangelism and outreach. That's multiplication. That's multiplication. Did I feel suited to any of these tasks? No. I had no idea at 10 years old how to be a Sunday school teacher. Did I care? No! I saw a need and my heart hungered to fill that need for the Lord. And He taught me at 10 years old how to read and study my word and teach children. Amen. Then I became a youth leader. Did I feel, you know, ready for that? No, I had no say. I was voted in. I had no clue that would happen. I didn't vote for me. I didn't assume anybody else would vote for me either. And then I became a Sunday school director. And the list just keeps multiplying and multiplying and multiplying until I went to Mexico, where I saw that law applied to my life in ways and areas I never imagined, to coming home. And you know what my biggest fear about coming back to Washington was? Not being used. Not having anything to do, you know, for the Lord. I knew I'd have children to teach and children to work with and a house to keep and cook. But I wanted to work for the Lord. How do you go from being a missionary where every day is a job? Every day there's somebody. Every day there's something. How do you go from service and 4 nights a week and 5 nights a week and speaking every weekend and retreats and mission trips? How do you go from all of that? See, my mind was so small. I imagine I'd go back to what life was before Mexico. And I thought, Lord, how can I do that? I'm not that girl anymore. I can't do that. And then the Lord gave me a word that brought a lot of peace to me after the irritation passed. The Lord said to me, this is not punishment. This is advancement. This is abundance. I'm like, advancement? Really? Oh, isn't that cute? I won't tell you the rest of the word. It's kind of like a little kick in the keister. Thank you for your obedience in all things, Pastor. But the Lord made provision for everything. He said, I have plenty to do. I'm not unhappy. I love what I'm doing. I love this church. I love this body. I don't even have words for how much I love being a part of this body, for how much I love watching you grow and seeing God move and work in you and seeing what God is doing in this place. I have no words for how much I love it. I was such a silly girl. I told the Lord, Lord, I'm so sorry. I'm such a silly girl. How could I have thought you'd take me back to that after all that multiplication? After all that multiplication. Oh, praise the Lord. That spiritual law exists in the universe. Provision comes through God's faithfulness. He is faithful to His children. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's provision is for the change, and He's calling you. What change is He calling you tonight? What word has He spoken to you? What word have you been contemplating in your heart, or have you been pondering? Be faithful to what He's calling you to. Be faithful to hear His voice. Be faithful to the words He has spoken to you, because when you take that provision, His word, right? Provision is His word. And you multiply it times usage, the abundance is unstoppable. Unstoppable. Oh, praise the Lord. Stand with me tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Oh, glory to your name. Praise your name, Lord. Oh, Rabbi. Hallelujah. I just want to thank you, Scott, for taking care of that. I just want to thank you for joining us tonight, for tuning in. Oh, I just speak life into your life into your world, life into your heart. Oh, hallelujah. I encourage you to use what you've been taught, to use what you've heard. Don't be a bench warmer. Be a bench marker. Go for the mark. Hallelujah. Oh, because God's calling is over your life. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to close with prayer. And then we're going to have prayer right down here. Hallelujah. Oh, praise your name, Jesus. Oh, Father, we just glorify you tonight. We praise you tonight. We thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you for the stirring of our hearts. Lord, help us to see you as a God of multiplication. Help us to understand you are the God of provision. That, Lord, what we do, what you're calling us to do, isn't in our strength. It's not in our ability. It's in the strength that we get directly from Holy Spirit, and the ability we get directly from the Holy Spirit. And all we have to do is begin to step out and let you use us, Father, and you'll multiply it back to our lives. Oh, thank you, Father, for your presence. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you for your fire, oh God. Oh, Rabahashi. Whoo, Rabababashitorobakiatarabahashitorobahashitorobahai. Whoo, Rabakiashito. Whoo, tarararabahashitorobahai.